Why Life Is, and I'm your host, Niles McFlower. And tonight's show, I thought, would be on death and immortality and the spiritual way to overcome fear. And for a show that's dealing with metaphysics and spirituality and science as well, I think this is going to fit right in. Now, many people I talk to have issues with fear in their life, and most people are not aware that fear is really a component of one's perception and understanding and belief about death. In other words, fears in general have a relationship to how we consider what death is in our life. Also, in some cases, suffering as well. But most people really, when the bottom line is considered, it's death that is the big issue for them, and they don't realize that. That people say, well, I'm afraid I'm going to lose my job. I'm afraid I'm not going to be able to feed myself. I'm afraid I'm not going to be able to do what I want to do or have what I want to have or being alone. Or it goes on and on. All those are really the inability to understand that we are immortal. And we are, at the same time, only dying from one realm or one dimension of time and space and one body, going to another that is both easier to live in and more capable of meeting the very concerns that we have in this world of living. So it actually is a strange concept that death is really a portal, we'll say, into a life that is both easier in some respects and less likely to incur, on a relative basis, fear in those who will be living that life in the next dimension. That doesn't mean that everybody has the same experience after death by any stretch, but it does mean that relative to their life here, it'll be easier going on to the next dimension in time and space. And, of course, I'm going to talk about all that in today's show. If you would like to call in and talk about anything dealing with this subject or anything else dealing with metaphysics and spirituality, please do so. And the phone numbers are on the site right where you're listening at. And you can use those numbers depending upon where you're at. There's 800 numbers you can call. And I would love to hear from you if you'd like to call. And today's show might even elicit some calls because some people do have fears that they don't know how to deal with. You know, and it's an interesting point. Now, I want to get into this and start explaining what I mean because I've said some things that just for a lot of people are going, huh? They're probably scratching their heads. What is he talking about? Death and immortality. How does that overcome fear? Well, I'm going to start a little bit from a side angle, and that is that, let me tell you this. When we are afraid, we are putting more distance between ourselves and our souls. And that's something to think about. I'm not going to explain all of that right now. I just want you to know that because as this show progresses, it'll become more apparent why that is a true statement. So I'm throwing it out now so that as the show goes on, you can say, now I'm starting to figure this thing out. There is a relationship between fear and separation from one's soul. Because souls are immortal, and souls at the same time actually have no fear of death. Which means, by what I first said, they really don't have fear in a true sense of what we think of as fear. Okay. So let's begin this process by looking at how does someone deal with serious issues. I'm going to bring some up just so that we can all be on the same page. And as examples, I think it will help. Let's start with someone, and I'm sure there's someone even listening to my voice right now, who has a very serious ailment, an illness. And they've been dealing with it and not doing too well with it. They may be facing either serious levels of incapacitation and possibly the illness leading to an inevitable death. Not eventually, but maybe at some prescribed or somewhat determined time in the future. That, for a lot of people, would be very fear-inducing because they are afraid of death. They're afraid of losing the ability to function in relatively normal ways while they remain alive in this dimension. So how does someone overcome that fear then? And this is the way I suggest that it can be done. The first thing is to recognize that the amount of time that we spend living in this world is a fraction of the time we will be living in the next couple of places we're going to be living. And it's so small in relative terms that even if someone were to endure 20 years, say, two decades or more of suffering from an illness and other issues here, in relative terms, while that is a blow and it is difficult, that is a small amount of time, fractionally, to the amount of time that they would spend living in the next dimension and then beyond that. We're talking between the two, for the average person, probably 1,500 of our equivalency of our years here. Now, that's because of a thing called time dilation, that you can't compare and say that the same amount of time here is elapsing while you're living in some of these other dimensions. It's a little complicated in physics, but it actually is somewhat of an accepted physics fact that there is a thing called time dilation. And in one dimension, you could be experiencing a great deal more time than here. So in relative terms, the time issue is not as severe. As a matter of fact, it's maybe by, in relative terms, a small amount, a relatively small amount of time that a person might be suffering and somewhat debilitated or completely debilitated. I couldn't say because we're making this up, right, in this realm. So that's the first thing that a person needs to come to realization about. And how do you come to that? Well, you can read the textbook I wrote, Life's Hidden Meaning. You can call me. We can talk about it. I will be glad to devote some time to anybody in that position. And the other ways that you can come to that conclusion is through opening yourself to a greater understanding through creativity of what you have left in this life to use the time as to the most effective level possible. As you do that, it makes this time more relevant, and you also begin to, we'll say, understand better the things I'm talking about, and you'll come to the same conclusions that I have explained in most circumstances. So you'll be able to say, you know, I thought he was crazy when he said that, but now I don't think he is. That kind of stuff will happen. If you are more creative here and your creation is of goodness in some way, it's helpful for others, it serves others, then your consciousness will grow, and you'll be able to handle the levels of debilitation of what they are. Again, this is an example I'm using right now, so don't think I'm talking about everybody, but I'm trying to take something that's pretty severe to try to show how that would work out. Okay, that's the first step, but it isn't the only step. Most people, as I said, are afraid of death itself. Some people are afraid of the dying process, but a lot of people still are quite afraid of death. Even if they have a strong religious view, that sometimes doesn't quite fill the bill. A lot of people will tell me, well, yeah, I know my religion says this or that, but if they know death is imminent in their life, that's a scary thing for them. And they don't necessarily buy into, well, I know for sure I'm going here or there or whatever. So that it is a problem for them. Okay, so the idea that death is something terrible, you've got to look at it from this standpoint. Now, I'm going to be rather crude and direct because I don't want to sugarcoat this and not going to be politically correct. Death is inevitable. We are all going to die. The only question is not whether we're going to die, but how we're going to live before we die, because we're all dying. That's it. Okay? So this is not like you're going to inevitably get out of this. We're all dying. And we're all going to die in some way in which the experience of the death will be somewhat unpleasant. There's no such thing as a pleasant death. There are some deaths that are less difficult and that are more easily gone through than others. The answer to how pleasant or unpleasant a death is, relatively, again, there's no really great death where you go around and celebrate, gee, I'm dying, I feel wonderful, I'm having a great time. But you could have a much more relatively pleasant death than others, or than you might have, if you do the following. You live your life, especially as you move closer to whatever time you're dying in, by focusing out on others. The more you're focused out on others, the less you feel any pain of death, and the less you feel any suffering from death. Okay? So that's the secret. That's the, believe me, if I had a hospice that was, you know, like, this is the McFlower Hospice, thank you, come on in, that's what I would be having people do. No matter what the disease is, no matter what the processes they're involved in, I would know, and I would try to supply them with the ability to create as much for others' sake. And it'd be a great hospice because everybody would be taking care of everybody else, see, in some way. Find the strengths that people have and use those to help those with certain weaknesses, etc. That's the kind of hospice I could imagine. But think of your whole world as a hospice. Think of your whole life as a place in which you're looking at from that standpoint. So for those of you, if any of you are in this particular situation, and we're taking a very severe one now, I'm using it as, again, as an example. This isn't for the rest of us who might not be in this place, but it is inevitably going to be at some point because we're all dying. We're all going to die. So you focus on the fact, I eventually am not going to be here. Now, how do I want to live the rest of my life? Do I want to live the rest of my life by avoidance of creation of light in the world? Because that's fear. That's what fear does. Gets you to avoid creation, and it gets you to avoid first creation of light, and then eventually creation of everything, depending upon how fearful you are. Even evil people who don't necessarily create any light, eventually, if they're fearful, will not create anything. Even in darkness, though, they may find that they can't even be creative for darkness because they're too afraid. So fear cuts us off from being creative, and creation is the first part of spirit. So we start breaking the connection between us and spirit, which is God's thought and the thought of our own soul. We and our soul are separating ourselves. We are doing it from our side in thought when we are functioning under fear. Now, remember when I said at the beginning of the show that you and I start understanding what I mean when I say that when you function in fear, you and your soul are going different directions? Starting to make some sense. Okay, I'm just reminding you. Okay, so we've got this thought that really you have to meditate on. My suggestion is doing it every day. And do it around the things you are afraid of. Whatever they are, just prioritize. Make a list. Okay, taking it from our example of extremists, like the example like I'm dying now and I'm going to have a terrible thing. It doesn't have to be that. Let's say you have a list and you prioritize the list. What am I afraid of? This. These are my fears. This is what I'm living with in fearfulness. And now, what am I going to say? Well, the first thing is, inevitably, I'm going to be dying. So these things that are happening to me here right now are things that, first of all, while there is some karma that could travel with me into my next life elsewhere, it's always going to be much less, believe it or not. Until you come back to the physical world, your physical karma pretty much stays a lot here. Depends what you do when you get to the other side. You live bad there and you live bad here, you're going to still have some problems. But I'm saying that there is a whole bunch of relief. So death is not a suffering, terrible experience, because although there are some elements of going through the dying experience, that can be alleviated by being very creative and focused out. And when you get to the other side, you are in a place that's way better, relatively, than you were here. And you have a lot more opportunities, a lot more freedom, and a lot more years to live in which to gain whatever you seek to create in light, hopefully, in that next world. So that's where you're going to, and that, as soon as you think that, I'm going to die, that frees me from being concerned about anything that's going to happen here, because the amount of time I'm going to spend here is going to be relatively small, very small, actually, compared to where I'm going to. And where I'm going to, I'm going to be much freer, much more capable to live my life in whatever ways I see. And if I live my life in light, more spiritually in the other world, the next ones, I will live an even grander, better life than anything that has happened here so far. And the fears that I have right now will be gone. Because most of those fears usually revolve around something material. Not always, but usually they do. Now, some people say, well, what? I'm afraid of my reputation and what people think of me and that kind of thing. Yeah, but when you connect that to your doing something in a behavioral sense as an activity, it almost always involves a material issue. Think about that. It almost always does. It connects you to something material. There's no materiality in the next world. There's a kind of thing that we create. We create the next world to a great extent through our imagination. And there is some resemblance of materiality. But the real physics of the material world is gone. So you can change things literally as you think, and particularly as you imaginatively think. So that gives you a whole bunch of, we'll say, new ways to change your life, even if you've been very unsuccessful at doing that in the physical world. It doesn't mean that it's completely easy and life it becomes perfect. I don't want you to think that at all. I'm just telling you in relative terms, the things that you fear are based upon illusions from this world. They aren't based upon realities. Okay, what about immortality? How does that play into this whole situation? Well, here's the real deal. Death is not what people actually really are afraid of. They have some fears about the uncomfortableness in the process, possibly, of dying. But most people are really afraid of annihilation of consciousness, that they will not exist. And the exact opposite is what happens. Each time you die during each incarnation from a dimension of time and space, your consciousness increases rather than decreases or disappears. So the question of immortality is that you can't die of consciousness, that you will go back to being, rejoining in full consciousness with your soul. It's like each step of the way, you just get more and more into a greater and greater being until you eventually recreate yourself as close as possible to being your soul. And then you awaken into that state. That's exactly how it works, what I just explained. So at no point are you losing consciousness unless you choose to completely separate yourself from your soul and be an evil. That's a pretty stupid thing to do. Think about it, because then you're really afraid. And you deserve to be afraid, because then you may be losing consciousness. As a matter of fact, you will be losing some level of consciousness and not even know it. But you may recognize it as well. So those that suffer the most, those that really put themselves into hell, at least for a while, are those that choose to separate themselves from their souls, and we call those people evil. Most people are not evil, and most people will not experience that. But I had to put that little caveat in there, because I know somebody could have read licensed meaning, and they could say, hey, you didn't explain the exception. That's true. But I'm talking about for the rest of us. You know. Besides which, I'm not here to teach the evil ones. Let them figure it out on their own. That's their problem. I don't even care if they don't read licensed meaning, because they wouldn't understand it if they did. They don't have the consciousness to do that. All right, let's get back to what I'm talking about. immortality is the other piece of the puzzle. It's what gets us. It's what gets us to the point where we recognize that, hey, not only is it this life I'm going to be spending another 1,500 years beyond the physical world, I'm going to be spending another 100 lifetimes or 200 lifetimes doing this in this world itself, and then I might go to another planet, which might be some other place even more interesting, possibly, but certainly. And so, and there's no end. You never end. You might say, well, how can you never end? Well, why does there have to be an end? Why can't you eventually become a creator of your own universe and greater universes with no end to it? And you just help to create life and do all the things that, as a co-creator here, we can do with our creator and eventually become creators ourselves. There's no need for there to be an end. As a matter of fact, there's no rational reason for there to be an end. The system is divine. So that everything keeps growing endlessly. Yeah, really. Endless numbers of universes, endless numbers of creators and co-creators and life, etc. It just keeps going. Now, evil is trying to stop that. I understand that they have their own agenda, but it doesn't work. Their agenda doesn't lead them to immortality. It leads them to great, great levels of suffering, the worst levels like anyone could ever come up with, and eventually, you know what? They come around. Oh, it may take a billion years. I don't know. But that's their choosing. It's okay. That's they're free. They're free to do that. They want. Yeah. So that's the other thing. If you have a fear of someone that is dark, evil, think about that. That, hey, this is their eventual outcome. Now, you might say, but in the meantime, what if they're forcing? What if they're doing terrible things? What if they're taking my freedoms away and they're destroying me in some fashion or another? Well, again, it's no different than if you had a disease. It's no different than if you had some other terrible calamity happen in your life. They're all fitting into the same bill. You see, it doesn't matter what you fit inside the problem. The answer is still the same. You've got to get over the death issue, and you have to recognize your own immortality if you're going to eliminate your fear. One of the advantages of eliminating fear is that you tap into a more approachless response. Now, I'm not talking about necessarily anger. Anger is an emotion. An approach response, just like fear is an emotion, but the other way to explain it is as an avoidance. If you become more approaching to things, you increase your level of activity and balance out your level of creation. That's extremely important. I don't know if you've ever noticed it, but people who are fearful tend to have relatively lower levels of general activity, especially about anything that would be considered creative activities. I mean, they might do some kind of compulsive behavior, but they don't do things that are truly creative. And that's the key. If you're not creative, you can't create light. Now, could you create darkness? Yes, again, that's the antithesis of what I'm talking about. But again, that leads into a blind alley that just destroys your consciousness and leads you into the worst conditions possible. So let's say we deal with some other extreme examples. Let's say someone is being tortured. Someone is being destroyed both physically and mentally and emotionally by others who have overpowered them, and both in a physical sense and maybe in some others. Can they use the same model? Absolutely. Absolutely. That doesn't mean that you should be passive and try to do nothing. Just the opposite. Remember, if you're getting rid of your fear, then you have a greater approach response to life. And you may figure out some way to overcome those that are fighting you, and overcome those that are trying to destroy you, overcoming those that are, at the present time, overpowering you. You'll have a better chance. I might say you will be successful, but at least you can try. And you should. Because those that are doing that are on the dark side. And darkness responds best by being overcome with forces from this side. Here. Now, when you go to the other worlds, you don't have to deal with darkness that way. Here is the one place you do, here being the physical world. It's required here. You can't just let people destroy you through force. You have to fight back in some way. You can use a lot of intelligence, and you can use a lot of different means, but you have to have some level. In other dimensions, higher dimensions, because of the consciousness relevance change, and because darkness is segregated to more by consciousness to other dimensional parts of the space, you can just leave them alone, and they'll destroy each other, which is okay. I mean, it's a good way for it to work, actually. It doesn't work here, unfortunately. They can break out of that. They don't necessarily always destroy each other. And they will come and destroy good people and good things. So you do have to fight here. This is the one unfortunate exception to that very idea. But if you're not fearful, you're willing to do that. And it doesn't trouble you like it would somebody who's fearful, because then they have a serious problem. Because they're trying to face the darkness in their life, but they become constantly victimized by the overpowering of the darkness, and that's a problem. Now, some of you who may live in countries other than where I am may be more aware of what I'm saying, although there's some problems in this country, and I'm very concerned we could see some of this even happening here. So it can happen anywhere. You can have darkness take place in any environment. I'm talking about on a countrywide basis. It's more prevalent in some areas of the world than here. And some of you may be living in those areas that I'm talking about. But at any rate, you can still deal with it through these concepts that I'm giving to you tonight. You can still have some element and use it in a beneficial way. Let me take some simpler things. Let's say that you're just afraid of meeting people. Maybe you're shy with members of the opposite sex. Maybe you're afraid to go and apply for types of jobs or other things that in some way intimidate you because you don't feel so good about yourself. Then is that fear an avoidance response? Absolutely. Is it still connected to that death thing? Yes, absolutely. People that aren't developing their self, especially their higher self, but even parts of their lower self, even parts of their personal side, are doing so not because they can't, but because they're afraid to in some way. No matter what level of ability they have, they can always function to that level of ability unless they're afraid. You see, and that doesn't mean that everybody's the same. Some people can do more in some ways about some things than others. I'm not denying that. I'm just talking about the people that aren't even coming close to living up to their potential. In those cases, by, again, looking at themselves as immortal beings who are here for a short time and do what they can while they can here and do so without regard for whether they fail or not. Because success and failure are not the issues. Once you face the issue of death itself, you say, well, I'm going to eventually die. So if I don't succeed here, what's more important? Do I want to worry about that or say, I'm going to eventually die, this is my time period, do I want to go out and do something? Or do I want to just sit on my hands and do nothing? And most people start realizing as they meditate in their life about these kinds of issues that what they're really saying to themselves is that, gee, you know what? I am already living my death every day that I fail to be living up to my potential. That's an interesting point when you do some meditation about it. Anyway, I'm going to take a break at this point, and we will be back. In about 2 or so minutes, and I'll continue with this subject, and hopefully you're finding it interesting.
Hun, what book are you reading?
It's a novel, kind of, about romance, love, and spiritual life in general.
Kind of a novel? What do you mean?
Well, it's based on some real-life experiences and even real characters. Some of their experiences are fascinating and remarkable. I can't put this book down.
How come the title is Afterlife Love?
That's part of the fascination. This book describes the afterlife in intricate detail and even explains why things are the way they're explained.
But how can anyone write about or know that?
Some of the characters travel out of body to some places that people who've already died also go to. I'm finding it completely believable because it all makes sense and fits into a bigger picture for me.
Hun, what happens to these people?
You can read it for yourself when I'm done if you want.
Better yet, I'll get my own copy so we can discuss it while we read. Let me see. I'll write down the title. It's Afterlife Love by Niles McFlower. MacFlower.
Afterlife Love is available in some bookstores and from the publisher at agelesswisdom.com or 480-966-3132. That's 480-966-3132.
Hi, everyone. Since childhood, I've had questions about my life and life in general that I couldn't find adequate answers to. Questions like, why am I here? Why are others here? Does the universe have a purpose? And how does that relate to my life? More recently, I've been wondering what happens when we die, especially the reasons why. I'm more of a doubter than a believer in many things, and answers that include the whys allow me to think and figure out the truth for myself. I've been reading a book, Life's Hidden Meaning. This one book contains more answers, including the whys, than all other sources I've read or heard. It's amazing to me that every one of my questions has been thoroughly answered. More importantly, I have found that all of these answers so far have checked out to be true. I hope this message helps some of you in your quest for better understanding. The name of this wonderful book is, again, Life's Hidden Meaning by metaphysician Niles McFlower. Some bookstores sell it. I got my copy directly from the publisher at agelesswisdom.com. Life's Hidden Meaning may enlighten your mind and bring some peace and joy to your heart.
We're back, and we might have had, I was just told this, and I don't know if it's true, we might have had a few seconds to 10 seconds or more that was missing some kind of engineering problems are going on. And if that happened somewhere around 13 minutes after the hour, I apologize for that. Unfortunately, I don't know what I was saying exactly at that point, so I can't repeat it. But if it happened, I'm sorry, and we are still trying to work it out. We do have a few engineering problems tonight. So at any rate, this is like live radio. Those kinds of things do happen, unfortunately. And the person that's engineering the show tonight, he's actually – he's like hundreds of miles away from where I am. So, it's not that easy for us to coordinate things, when they're not quite working the way they should. Okay, so let me continue now with some of the concepts that, is so important, I think, if we're going to really gain a tool. This is what I call a major tool for dealing with fear, death, and immortality. So, if a person is involved in activities that they find themselves to be procrastinating and to be doubtful about, again, it helps tremendously to recognize their mortality as far as the physical world is concerned and immortality as far as life is concerned. In other words, they do have a time period that they're going to be available to create, co-create in this world, and to do so in ways that are hopefully spiritual. And if they choose, because of an avoidance issue, which is fear, to not do some of these things, they are responding, ultimately, to the illusion of death. And the way to overcome that is by meditating on that and recognizing that they are freeing themselves from that, where they recognize that they eventually are going to die, so this is the time to do this. They've got nothing to lose, nothing terrible. The worst thing that could ever happen, and I guess if you wanted to look at it that way, if you had some concern about death, is that you might die now rather than later or whatever the story is, but you're eventually going to die. And so you've got, you know, the worst possible things that could possibly happen are not going to happen. Because you're going to eventually leave this place. So why not try, why not do whatever you can now? And be as responsive as possible, and then also look at it from the immortality side, that your consciousness is only going to grow, and who you are today will be significantly less than who you're going to be at some time, anytime virtually, in the future. So this is the time to continue to try to grow yourself rather than to give up and to suffer the consequences of not having done something when you could have here in the physical world, because you can't come back. This is the unfortunate problem many people have when they go on to the next dimension of time and space, and they are more conscious, is they say, gee, if I could just go back, I'd like to try some of those physical world things that I was so avoiding of, and afraid of. And now I can't until the next lifetime when I might be illusioned again. I know, it's kind of tricky, isn't it? So if you can get rid of some of the illusions by meditating about death and immortality, you can then live your life more fully here and do so much more. It's a freeing process. That's what I'm talking about. If you can't free yourself from the illusion causes your own suffering. And the suffering comes from not being connected to your soul as much. You aren't living as a soul, and that's what real suffering is about. Suffering is the loss of consciousness from our own soul. As we separate ourselves from it and lose consciousness more and more, that's what suffering is. Now, we don't have to have that. The people who say, well, I'm suffering because I know I'm going to die, I've got this terrible thing going on, or I'm suffering because I know these other bad things are about to happen to me, which is kind of like a subcategory of the overall fear of death. And to me, I say, well, now is the time to do the most you possibly can, no matter what is going to happen. First of all, you got less to lose if things are going to go as bad as you think they're going to go. And if they're really ultimately going to be that you're going to kick the bucket here in the next 6 months or a year, whatever it's going to be, then for sure this is the time to go do it. I mean, sitting around and not getting anything done and not being creative and especially not creating any more light in this world is like ridiculous, because this is your opportunity to do it. And nothing will remind you more of that, possibly, than being faced with your own death. Now, I'm going to tell you a secret. That's one of the reasons souls sometimes choose to allow people to know that they're going to die at a certain particular time, usually due to a certain kind of serious calamity or illness or whatever that they have had happen to them. Right? People say, well, why did that happen to them? Well, why don't you figure out what they were really doing with their life? And many times that will explain it to them, if not to others. Even for the people who seem to be quote-unquote well-known and all famous even. But you know what? That doesn't mean that they're really creating much light in the world. It might be just the opposite, that they have tremendous potential to do so, and they're doing that much more than anybody. Remember, it's a relative thing. The more you're capable of creating light, the more you need to. So the people who have the least amount of capability have the least amount of responsibility to do so, and they might skate through life pretty easily without very, very many crises. The people who are usually plagued with the crises usually have the most amount of potential and are doing the least amount relative to that potential to make a change. Those are the people who almost inevitably are suffering. They're almost inevitably plagued by crises and problems. And they have to continually then work on this process of death and immortality that I'm bringing up in today's show to try to extricate themselves from those illusions that they are living their life with. Hopefully those people are hearing me tonight, because if they aren't, they're the ones that are probably going to have the most amount of problems. It isn't your average folk. It isn't the people who are living closer to their potential, but the potential's pretty low because maybe they're relatively young souls in the sense they've only incarnated a few hundred times, relative in today's world. That was a lot of times if you were around thousands of years ago, but today it's not that many incarnations. And maybe they didn't get that much out of some of those incarnations. So they have a relatively low expectation from their soul to be very creative. They're going to be somewhat creative, but they're not going to be very creative. And they don't have maybe as many abilities either. And so they're not born under the circumstances that may permit it as easily too. And so those people actually can get through life relatively with lacking some level of crisis. But they also have less meaning in their life. That's right. There's a commensurate level of meaning that comes from creation itself. Your meaning levels drop when you have less ability to be creative, and they really drop badly when you have a lot of ability and you choose to not use it. Then your life can become meaningless to yourself, not to someone else, to you. If you feel your life is meaningless, check this whole idea out of meditating on your own death, recognizing your own inevitability that you're not going to be here, and how short a time you really have, if you've got at least 1,500 more years to live elsewhere, how short of a time do you have left here? For a lot of people listening to my voice now, they might have a few decades, and that's it. 30 years? Maybe? Depends on, you know, I don't know how old you are and how long you're going to live, but the point is, for a lot of people, that's maybe it. And that's a comparison to maybe 1,500 or more years before you go back to being your soul in another dimension. But again, you can't have the physical world experience again. You won't have physical senses, you won't have a physical body, and there won't be a physical world. Why is it so important to do what you can while you're in the physical world? Because it is here that God is hardest to create, but the benefits and joy of doing so are equally greater. And life has more meaning when you have more dimensionality. All the dimensions are represented in some way in the physical world because we're at the bottom, we're at the basement. That means that everything interpenetrates and you can live here the richest, most diverse kind of existence. Very difficult, no doubt about it, lots of forces. Wears you out quick. Can't live very long here. 100 years is considered quite a long time, right? That's nothing in the middle world. And it's not that much in the astral world. But here, it's a long time. So, this is the place to come and really do the biggest amount, greatest amount of work in being a creator of light in the world. This is the place. And recognizing how little time we have. By recognizing that we are all going to die. And not too much longer. No matter what age you are from what you're listening to me right now, I assume that children aren't listening to me actually. You don't have much time. So if you don't get on to doing something, you're going to lose this experience. You'll regret it, I guarantee it. When you go on to the next world, the biggest regret people have, I know this from having direct experience on the other side, is that people regret tremendously, tremendously what they didn't do while they were physically alive. And I mean, this is a serious issue. Even those that aren't living in the highest, most spiritual places have that regret. And it isn't a regret about other people. Issues with like, well, I wish I had, you know, a deeper relationship with blank blank, or I had done this or that. It's almost always about having created virtue, created some light in this world while they have the opportunity to do that. Because they recognize how much importance it is to create more of the Creator as they live their life in more spiritual dimensions of time and space. Now, this is particularly true in the mental world. It's somewhat true in some of the higher parts, higher subdimensions of the astral world. And this is the way people, it's almost like a universal thing for those people that I just mentioned. Their experience is almost universally that, I just wish I could go back because I would live my physical life so much more. So if you want to do more, there are so many things to be done. We're living in an interesting time. This is the time of great change. And some of the change, unfortunately, has terrible consequences due to a great deal of darkness that has grown in humanity. Most of that darkness deals with egotism and greed and just some of the things we think of that are, you know, we can see around us. And it's a time when those of us who have the ability to create more light could be doing something to mitigate some of the effects of this darkness, which is growing. And it's going to keep getting worse for a number of years. The next few years particularly are not going to be great years. For those of you living in first world countries, they're going to suffer some really serious consequences. And I'm most worried about where I am, which is the United States. I think that this, of any place, the United States may be coming to see some of the worst, we'll say, negative changes from what most people consider the way life was or has been. Part of it has to do with the fact that while we thought things were so great, we were being very irresponsible. We weren't paying attention to creating more light the way we should have. We're probably paying too much attention to being materialistic, and to trying to have more things of various nature and not looking at life from a more spiritual side. So I think we have some problems coming about. I think that we're going to need to be addressing these very soon. And that means that those of us who are, especially those of you who are listening to me tonight, need to be concerned about overcoming fear, because if we're fearful, we won't do what needs to be done, take the actions necessary to make the changes that are really, really going to be begging at us to make changes about. But you're going to need to really put yourself out there and probably take some risks and really, I would say, become a more active force in change, to create the kind of world that really represents light. What is that world? That world is a world in which, in your meditations, you might want to do this and thinking about how you want to change yourself. That's a world in which freedom comes first, because it's the first part of God's mind. Freedom, creativity, purpose, those are the first parts of Creator's being. Balanced with goodness, planning, love, but wise love, not giving. You don't want to give to people just, you know, because they don't have as much as you. You never want to do it. You want to give to people wisely. Help them to become better givers themselves. Give in ways that makes people more responsible and more creative and more giving while they are being given too. That's wise giving. That's much more difficult than just randomly giving out checks to people or something like that, some silliness like that. Okay, so this is what we are actually here for, and this is how we can overcome fear as well. Because as you take action, fear dissolves away. Once you enact some of the things that you have come to realize you haven't been responsible about, your fear will leave. And you'll be functioning more like, you got it, a soul. So you'll by taking the actions, you become the soul here in some respect. And that's what we came here for. We actually came here to do this very thing. And it's the fears that keep us from it. And dark people, dark things want to prevent that. Evil people want to destroy it. But we can overcome them too. You see? We can. And think about it from this standpoint. I want to give you one last exercise to try doing. I want you to think about the fact that you died yesterday. And then I want you to go through an assessment of what your life has been and what things you would have changed and what things that you can see you functioned out of fear of instead of functioning as a person who was a creator, a co-creator, I should say, and a person who was wisely giving and loving. And then you should come up with a better, I think, answer for yourself. There was a movie called Defending Your Life. He was in that movie. Okay. But the thing is, people are telling me here in the studio what it is, but I can't hear them. So I got my earplug on or whatever. They're writing it down for me. Here it is. Who is it? Albert Brooks. There it goes. Albert Brooks. Got it. Albert Brooks. I like him, even though I couldn't remember his name right now. Anyway, he did that movie, and I thought that was a good movie because in it he was overcoming fear. But the thing I didn't like about the movie is the fears were stupid fears. They weren't fears that showed to me the profundity that I'm trying to get people to hear in this conversation right now. So hopefully you can expand on what that movie was about, because it was kind of too watered down for me. Now maybe for the general public it was fine. I don't know. I think the people who are listening to the show would get gotten a lot more out of more profound fears than the ones that were represented by who he was. Yes, he wasn't living up to his potential and other things. And then, of course, he overcame some of his fears at the end because there was a love story, too. I think that each of us can do a great deal by recognizing our immortality, our eventual death, which is not very far off no matter what age you are. You don't have very long here. And doing some meditation about what we haven't done and how we would change it, and then try to live the rest of our life in a way that matches those changes that we need to make in ourselves. And to do so with boldness rather than with meekness. Now, I know the meek may inherit the earth, but unfortunately, those that are going to create more of the earth need to be a lot bolder. And so if you really want to be the co-creators of what's going on, you need to be facing some of the issues that I'm describing in today's show. Now, this is a very abstract subject. I hope that it made some sense to you. I hope I've encouraged some people, and I hope it makes some difference in the lives that have been listening. If you have a chance, you can email me at thoughts@whylifeis.com. You can go to agelesswisdom.com and check things out on the website there. We still need assistance from others. We've got a lot of things we're doing, and we are overwhelmed. I know there's a couple people who have contacted us, and some of you are saying, you're so busy, you can't call us back. Well, I know. We're going to try to get to you. We've been extremely busy, and we're trying to balance all those things. But we do need a lot of help, and I can tell you that. So if you've got ways that you want to co-serve with what we're doing, hey, give us a call. Remember, I'm a member of a spiritual group. That's the group I'm talking about. It's a bunch of people who really just are here to try to do good things, try to create some light in the world and make this a better place. Sometimes we have to face darkness, by the way, and it is no pleasant thing, because when we face darkness, it's big-time darkness, or the worst kind sometimes. Also, if you have a chance, check out foreveryoungproducts.com. I'm still letting you know I'm using the Ideal Cell Zorption Resveratrol. It's great. It really works. It works by making you younger in many different ways. And I believe overall it'll give you a little more time to be a co-creator. So consider that. I hope you will. Anyway, we're out of time for right now. I also want to mention, if you have pets, this stuff works even better on them than it does on people. I think it might be the greatest stuff for dogs and cats. We've got a product available for that. we're out of time for right now. And until next week, this has been Niles McFlower for Why Life Is.
Hi, I'm singer-songwriter Fremont John, and you're listening to BBSRadio.com. You know how short time really is, and you don't have time for all the negativity and meaningless chit-chat that's out there on other talk radio stations. BBS Radio is your source to a world of inspiring information you can use.